Ask Ag Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sask Ag Today. Coming up on today's program, there was a major announcement this morning in Churchill, Manitoba, involving the federal and Manitoba governments. We will have details on that for you. As well, shoppers in grocery stores across the country have noticed ungraded beef being sold. We'll hear from Ron Glazer, the Vice President of Corporate Affairs for Canada Beef, and he will explain what ungraded beef is. And maintaining public trust in an increasingly skeptical world. It's not an easy task, but a communication specialist says it can be done with time, attention, and effort. We'll hear from Lauren Sergi, who spoke a couple of weeks ago at the Farm and Food Care Saskatchewan Annual Convention in Saskatoon. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of Sask Ag Today. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist. Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. This morning in Churchill, Manitoba Premier Wab Kanoo and Dan Vandell, the minister responsible for Prairies Can in the federal government, announced a joint investment of up to $60 million to the Arctic Gateway Group, or ACG. This combined funding from the governments of Canada and Manitoba will finish work on the Hudson Bay Railway, start to redevelop the Port of Churchill, and further benefit the communities and sectors of the economy that depend on the Arctic Gateway Group's operations. The Arctic Gateway Group is a partnership of 41 First Nation and Bayline communities in Manitoba. The Hudson Bay Railway, owned and operated by the Arctic Gateway Group, is the only affordable year-round all-weather mode of transportation for both passenger and freight traffic to access several northern Manitoba communities. The rail line is essential for supply chains, local food security, and regional connectivity. The investment announced today builds on the governments of Canada and Manitoba's previous commitments to restore critical rail service to Churchill and to surrounding communities. The Hudson Bay Railway is the backbone of the region, serving remote and indigenous communities and linking the Port of Churchill as the only deepwater Arctic port connected to the North American Surface Transportation Network. The port is positioned to import and export commodities, critical minerals, and natural resource products through the Arctic and to the world, and strengthen Canada's northern sovereignty and security. Back in 2018, the federal government committed to the repair and maintenance of the Hudson Bay Railway. This saw the creation of the Arctic Gateway Group and the acquisition of the Hudson Bay Railway, Port of Churchill, and Marine Tank Farm. In 2022, a collaboration between the Government of Canada and Province of Manitoba further ensured the railway remained operational for all who benefit from its use. Over the last two construction seasons, repair and maintenance work on the line replaced over 8.9% or 166,000 rail ties. It resurfaced 2 million feet or 610 kilometers of track, upgraded and repaired over 10 bridges, and installed fresh ballast rock on 23% of the track between the Paw and Churchill. Manitoba is home to 29 of the 31 critical minerals that have been identified as essential to the net zero transition. Please stay tuned. The AgriView portion of our program is coming up next. That's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, AgriView.
India has extended the timeline for duty-free imports of yellow peas by 1 month through to the end of April. There have been duty-free imports on yellow peas since early December, It was part of New Delhi's intervention to cool the prices of the overall pulse basket. India largely imports yellow peas from Canada and Russia. India is a large consumer and grower of pulses, and it meets a portion of its consumption needs through imports. Feed barley bids in Western Canada remained under pressure in mid-February amid continued imports of corn from the United States and the relatively mild prairie winter. However, localized spot opportunities do pop up occasionally. Many feedlots continue to work through U.S. corn contracted earlier in the marketing year, but the downtrend in corn futures should keep them looking to extend that coverage. Corn futures at the Chicago Board of Trade hit fresh contract lows this week, with prices at their softest level in over 3 years. Meanwhile, barley bids have also trended lower, with average prices also at their lowest level since December of 2020. While bids over $6 Canadian per bushel can still be found in southern Alberta, that's down by about 50 cents over the past month. Meanwhile, average prices are closer to $5 Canadian per bushel or lower in Manitoba and Saskatchewan. Maple Leaf Foods is combining its meat and plant protein businesses into one as it seeks to focus the company and drive growth. The reorganization came as Maple Leaf reported a fourth quarter loss of $9.3 million or 8 cents per share for the quarter ended December 31st, compared with a loss of $41.5 million or 34 cents per share a year earlier. The company says the improvement for the quarter was driven by pricing to mitigate inflation, stronger pork markets, and other factors. Sales totaled $1.19 billion for the quarter, about the same as a year earlier. Sales for the company's meat protein business amounted to $1.16 billion, up from $1.15 billion in the fourth quarter of 2022, while plant protein sales totaled $36.5 million, down from $40 million a year earlier. Nova Scotia is upping the amount of funding it will give to farmers who suffered losses due to last year's extreme weather events. The province has announced that it would be allocating $9.2 million to agriculture producers. The Department of Agriculture said in a statement that this program is intended to help farmers who are still recovering from damage due to wildfires or floods, or who were not covered by previous support programs. The U.S. government has approved a request from Midwestern governors allowing expanded sales of gasoline with higher blends of ethanol in their states starting in 2025. The government currently restricts sales of E15 gasoline, or gasoline with 15% ethanol, in summer months due to environmental concerns over smog, though the biofuel industry says those concerns are unfounded. The corn-based ethanol industry has been fighting for years for year-round sales of E15, but was frustrated by the 2025 start date 1 year later than proposed. In 2022, the governors of Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, Ohio, South Dakota, and Wisconsin made the request for year-round E15 sales, saying the move could help lower pump prices by boosting fuel volumes. Some oil refiners have argued that allowing E15 in select states as opposed to nationwide could prompt localized fuel price spikes and supply issues. A photo of Federal Agriculture Minister Lawrence McAuley eating lobster in Malaysia during an official trip has some people seeing red. Shared Sunday on the minister's profile on the X platform, formerly known as Twitter, the photo shows McAuley looking relaxed, wearing a t-shirt and sunglasses, and holding a lobster claw in his right hand with the rest of the crustacean on a plate before him. Daniel Tsai, a lecturer in communication, culture, information, and technology at the University of Toronto, says the first impression he had when he saw the picture was that it was tone-deaf. To see the minister chowing down on lobster may play well with his home crowd in the Maritimes, but sends the wrong message to the rest of Canadians who are pinching pennies to get by. And SaskAg Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose SaskAg today. And yes, it is free. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Faulkner. It's cloudy and minus 8 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at 1 o'clock. Shoppers in grocery stores across the country have noticed ungraded beef being sold. Ron Glaser, the Vice President of Corporate Affairs for Canada Beef, explains what ungraded beef is.
Yeah, we're starting to get more questions about ungraded beef as well. Grading is a quality designation that is applied to beef that's produced in Canadian processing plants. And so there's basically three different grades that you would see at the retail counter. There's Canada AA, Canada AAA, and Canada Prime. What grading measures is different attributes such as marbling, meat color, fat color. It's also influenced by the age of the animal. It's important to note that grading as a quality attribute is not a food safety attribute. All beef that is sold in Canada, whether it's produced in Canada or imported, is safe.
He says it's not unusual for grocery stores to be selling ungraded beef.
So ungraded is a designation that's applied to imported product because since it's not produced in a Canadian processing plant, it can't be applied with a Canadian grade. Canada imports about 20% of the beef it consumes. That number can go up and down depending on the year, but Canadian market share is usually somewhere in the high 70s to the low 80s on an annual basis. And there's many countries that are allowed access to Canada. The top importers are the United States, which represents about 60% of the beef that's imported into Canada, followed by New Zealand, the European Union, Australia, Mexico, Uruguay, and Argentina.
Glaser then talks about the safety aspect of ungraded beef.
When Canada allows for beef to be imported from a country, there's a number of steps involved with that. Basically, CFIA would meet with their counterparts in those countries. They would review their food safety standards. And before a country would be approved for importation into Canada, essentially, it would have to be agreed that it has equivalency in food safety measures. Then on top of that, individual plants that wish to export into Canada would also need to be individually inspected by the CFIA and approved for export license into Canada. You know, so there's tremendous framework and guarantees to ensure food safety. In terms of Canadian beef versus our competitors around the world, you know, obviously we believe Canadian beef is among the best in the world. Our grading standards ensure a high quality and good experience for the consumer. Certainly our cattle genetics are very high and lead to great eating quality. Our feeding systems also lead to tremendous quality advantages for Canadian beef. Beef from other parts of the world, sometimes in hotter climates, they need to use a different type of cattle breed that can be tolerant for heat, but quite often those cattle that have the tolerance for high heat will have lesser eating quality. In Canada, our beef breeds are based on British and continental European breeds, which are known for their beef quality.
He says ungraded beef might not have the same taste and texture as Canadian beef.
Definitely. Again, in Canada, the vast majority of our beef production is finished with grain, and that leads to the high level of marbling and taste and tenderness that you enjoy with Canadian beef. That definitely will be different than beef that's produced in other parts of the world, which will have different feeding regimens, will have different genetics that they use for their cattle. We believe there's tremendous advantage to our system.
And Glaser had these final comments.
If you want to ensure that you're going to have the best experience with your beef, look for the Canadian beef brand mark. Again, that's Canada AA, Canada AAA, and Canada Prime. Or if you're unsure, ask the butcher. Ask them to tell you where the beef comes from.
That's Ron Glaser, the Vice President of Corporate Affairs for Canada beef.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for April are trading at 188.15 this hour. That's up 160. June live cattle trading at 183.97, up 127. March feeder cattle trading at 254.45, up 240. April feeder cattle trading at 259.55, up 285. April lean hogs trading at 87.35, up 15. May lean hogs trading at 90.80, that's up 47. And that's the livestock market conditions. The Government of Canada, Swine Innovation Pork, or SIP, and their research partners have officially launched the Swine Cluster 4 research program. SIP Chair Arnold Schober explains what the Swine Cluster 4 program is.
So the Swine Cluster Research Program, it's a federal government initiative through AFC, and it's their way of funneling research money to the different commodities in agriculture. And so the Swine Cluster will make available government research dollars to the swine commodity, and SIP is its primary function is to take advantage of these dollars and match them with industry and research opportunities.
He tells us who makes up Swine Innovation Pork.
So Swine Innovation Pork is funded by all the provincial pork organizations, and a part of their checkoff is directed to SIP. And SIP, as I said, was put in place to take advantage of the cluster funding provided by the federal government. It's our industry input into the cluster research program.
Schober goes into his responsibilities as chair of Swine Innovation Pork.
Yeah, of course. I mean, as any chair, my responsibility is to make sure that everything goes as it is the wishes of the board. But on a bigger scale, my intention is, of course, to handle, of course, the cluster that what SIP does. But also, I'm looking forward to maybe find better collaboration across all the provinces and pull research together a bit more than what we have done in the past. And also, with the PPRA, we have a new opportunity in terms of another funding stream, and that we are looking at, finding ways of doing that.
He talks about the timelines for the Swine Cluster 4 research program.
So the cluster is a five-year program, and the total amount of money allocated is just over $20 million across those 5 years. And it is really important for us to recognize that the Government of Canada is providing $10.6 million to our cluster, and because this money will have a big impact for our future in the swine sector, and a lot of researchers really have put a lot of input and work into this cluster in terms of applying for it, and there's a lot of research partners and a number of researchers that come together collaboratively in order to help our sector with good outcomes. And if it wasn't for the opportunity to take part of this cluster, we would not be able to put this all together.
Schober explains how funding is allocated.
So it is a competitive process where we had a call where after we established our priorities, of course, that is done before the cluster call, And then all the researchers that apply for this program, we go through them with several steps in evaluating. Then we also have a science advisory board where we run that by them. And then we suggest, after that, we bring our list to the federal government, and they, in the end, make the final decision from that list.
He lists the priorities identified under Swine Cluster 4.
So the priorities are climate change and environment, economic growth and development, and sector resilience and societal challenges. And those priorities areas, they were identified as, you know, through the cluster by the federal government. And so those would be their priorities that they want to see science and research develop in within those priorities.
Schober tells us where the research is conducted and by whom.
So this, of course, it's a collaboration across the country. And in total, we have about 13 research institutions that are part of Cluster 4. And we have industry partners. We have, I think, about 36 industry partners in this cluster. And we have about 50 researchers with their projects and sub-projects part of this. So when you look at that, I would say that pretty much every spine research facility across Canada is part of this cluster, and each project also has several sub-projects. So we're basically getting a collaboration from all spine researchers in Canada, more or less.
He explains how the Swine Cluster program promotes research collaboration.
Yeah, so the collaborative approach in research is basic. It's nothing new. It happens in research all the time. We need to collaborate because research is costly, and through collaboration we get better projects and projects that industry needs that we need on the farm, that comes back to the farm in more efficiency and what have you. And so I would say that all modern research is always a collaborative effort. And also, of course, when government funds are needed for research, then they stipulate collaboration by default. And so, and collaboration works because, the industry partners and the provincial park organizations have an input and can identify what's really important for us on the farm. And that way we get research that is applicable to the farm. Some of the research is more basic. It takes more years to come back to the farmer, but eventually it does.
We'll hear more from Arno Schober, the chair of Swine Innovation Pork, coming up in a few minutes' time.
Commodities update.
Canola futures are trading down across the board this afternoon. March canola trading at $5.67.70. That's down $2.70. May canola trading at $5.76.70. Down $4.60. March Minneapolis wheat trading at 640 and a half. That's down 10¾ of a cent. March Kansas City wheat trading at 566 and a quarter, down 7¾ of a cent. March Chicago wheat trading at 573 and a half, down 9¾ of a cent. March corn trading at $4 per bushel, down 6 cents. March soybeans trading at 11.32¾, that's down 15 cents. March oats trading at 3.63¼, up a quarter of a cent. And that's the commodities update. Well, as you heard, the Government of Canada, Swine Innovation Pork, also known as SIP, and their research partners have officially launched the Swine Cluster 4 research program. That announcement was made earlier this week. SIP Chair Arno Schober has been talking to us, and he tells us who typically makes use of the information gathered through this work.
Some of the research is more basic research, where it would lead to more research, but in the end, it comes back to the farm and the industry as a whole by having, of course, by us being able to be stay competitive, keep on working on our efficiency, but also to reduce our environmental impact in the swine sector. And so eventually I'd say the research benefit always comes back to the producer.
He explains how producers, processors, and the broader industry benefit from the outcomes of the research undertaken in the Swine Cluster program.
By keeping our swine sector efficient and competitive, as a country who is exporting 70% of our production and pork production, we need to make sure that we can stay competitive in the world export market. And so it's important that we have a research program like this one through AFC that provides necessary funding opportunities and collaboration opportunities to have a very competitive swine industry.
Schober tells us what he's most looking forward to when it comes to the research being undertaken through Swine Cluster 4.
As a farmer, I'm looking for that eventually we'll have opportunities that we don't have today, and that we will be able to build in efficiency in our hog sector that we don't see today. It's coming. It's, you know, of course, it's important for our bottom line as a producer, and but also that we can continue to produce a safe product in a competitive way, because without having access to the world market, we would be. Canada would be, not well served, because we have, of course, as you know, we have a lot of feed that we produce in Canada. We have the right place to produce pork and a lot of space. And that is probably the reason, number one, why we are so export oriented. And as a farmer, that's important to me that we have these markets and that we have research that we can use on the farm to be competitive.
He explains how anyone interested can get more information.
SIP has a website, swineinnovationcorp.ca, and I invite anyone who is interested in following up on what we do. The website has a lot of information on the current and past projects that we've done, but also our new strategic plan that we are now implementing. There's a lot of information online there.
And Schober made these final comments.
Yeah, I'm happy that you provide us the opportunity here, or for myself, to talk about SIP. Not too many people in the industry are really keenly aware of SIP. I'm happy that we did get the Cluster 4 on the go. It's important for us to have research that eventually will be important for us farmers. And I think that having this opportunity is really great in securing this money.
Arno Schober is chair of Swine Innovation Pork. Please stay tuned. Your Farm Bulletin Board is coming up right after these messages.
Farm Bulletin Board.
The Farm Credit Canada Women Entrepreneurs Summit is coming up on Thursday, March 7th. It's inviting the media and entrepreneurs in agriculture, agribusiness, and agri-food to register now. The FCC Women Entrepreneurs Summit is a free online event that will allow participants to boost their leadership skills, connect, and build personal and professional growth. There will be a number of keynote speakers, including Tina Varughese, the owner of T-Works Incorporator and diversity, equity, and inclusion expert. It's coming up Thursday, March 7th from 1 until 3. Participants can register online at www.fcc.ca/events or by calling 1-888-332-3301. And that's going to do it for SaskAg Today for today. Be sure to tune in again at 12:15 on Monday for another edition of the program.